Hey guys, it's Charles with the Barbershop Group Podcast, and heading into the weekend, I hope that everybody's having a wonderful Friday, and got some great plans. It's turning into fall for a lot of people out there, so if you're in the Northeast, go ahead and enjoy the full changing of the seasons, but if you are anywhere else, keep enjoying the warm weather, have fun out there. Not looking forward to any winter at all. So yeah, slow down, fall. But guys, listen, if you missed last week's show, I had a great guest on the show, Veronica Clanton Higgins, who was just really marvelous talking about her interaction with her sons. And I took a lot away from that, and I still got more questions for her. But if you haven't heard that show, go back and listen to it. Maybe you've got some comments. We definitely have some chuckles in this interview. If you got something to share with us that you thought was pertinent to your life or somebody else's life, or just maybe you got some questions, right? You can DM us on Facebook, on Instagram. You can also email us at info@thebarbershopgroup.org, where we can, you know, take a lot of questions, comments. If you are listening to the podcast through iTunes, and if you got a couple minutes at work or just in passing, you're holding your phone, right? Feel free to leave us a review. Those reviews really help us get the word out about the work that we're trying to do and about the Barbershop Group Media Network. As you know, we always try to interview a lot of guests on the show. I think a lot of people think that we only want to interview therapists, and that's not the case. We really try to just interview a lot of people who are making positive impacts in the lives of men and those who love them, right? So the guy next door, a mom who experienced something with her son that somebody else needs to know about. Just if you feel like you know somebody who needs to be on the show, wants to be on the show, if you know somebody who has content packaged and would like to host their show on our network, feel free to reach out to us, because we've got a lot of stuff that we're getting ready to throw at you guys. And so, yeah, you don't want to miss it. Now, here's the other thing that I'll say out from the beginning. Support the podcast, all right? If you're listening on your phone, you can go right into our website, into our podcast website, and hit support the podcast, and you can contribute financially to the presence and the development of our network. Again, it takes a lot of work to get this stuff together for you guys, and we feel like it's valuable content. In fact, we know it's valuable content because we're pulling from the education of so many people's lives, so many professionals and other folks, and of course myself too. So again, support the podcast. You can do it for as little as 99 cents a month. You could do it for $4.99. We're talking about a Starbucks coffee. So support the podcast, any app, leave a review, and we thank you for it. So today we're talking about relationships, because we know you guys can't get enough about relationships. Now, I know that there are a lot of women who talk to women about relationships. There are a lot of women who attempt to talk to men about relationships. I don't think that always goes over so well, right? But there are also guys who talk to women about relationships, and I won't mention any names. Everybody's got a message and a mission. That's okay. But one of the things that I have noticed over time, just dealing with men's issues, dealing with my own issues, dealing with the issues of friends and other people that I know, is that guys don't really talk to guys about relationships. Guys don't give guys really solid, good advice about developing healthy relationships, right? A lot of times what we tend to do, especially if, you know, we didn't come from the healthiest environments, or we're lacking in some regard, let's just face it, a lot of times what we men do is we talk about power and control in relationships, right? And most of what we focus on, right, is just, again, it's who's going to be in power, who's submitting, who's going to cooperate, and it's not so much about who's going to collaborate. And a couple weeks back, I think it was, on my own personal Instagram page at the Mind Barber. Right, you guys can follow me at the Mind Barber if you'd like, as well as, you know, the barbershop group. I made mention that cooperation or collaboration is greater than cooperation. And when it comes to relationships, a lot of times what it seems like, and it's not just men, but, you know, I'm talking to men and I know that men do this, right? It seems like there are a lot of us guys out there who focus on trying to get somebody to cooperate with us. I've done that before too. You know, it's, and so cooperation kind of says, okay, I have the power. I hold the power. I need you to cooperate with me, right? I'm trying to persuade you to cooperate with me. Or maybe it's flipped for you guys. Maybe you are with somebody, right, who is always trying to convince you to cooperate with them. And again, that's about a power play there. It's very different than collaboration. In collaborative, you know, relationships, right, people aren't pulling on each other. Hey, I need you to do this. I need you to do that. I'm convincing you to do this. I'm making this argument that you need to work with me about something. See, it's different. In collaboration, both parties are leaning into each other. They want to come together. They want to work together. They don't have no in their playbook, right? So, and they don't have inflexibility in their playbook. That's the other thing about cooperation. When you're trying to get somebody to cooperate with you, you're usually trying to get them to leave a place where they're planted and come to a place where they're more flexible and willing to do what it is that you want them to do. In collaboration, that doesn't exist. In collaboration, it's always about motivation and dedication, and everybody wants to get better. I'm going to bring my best foot forward because I want to be as much a part of this thing as you do. And so we collaborate, right? A little different. Anyway, again, sometimes guys don't give the best relationship advice to other guys. A lot of times what guys tend to do is guys tend to play into another man's ego desires, play into another man's fantasy desires or his fantasy bonds, his recollections and things like that. And so somebody could come to you and ask you for advice, but they're not really open with you. They're not really transparent with you. And so you can't really give them anything tangible, or their ego is just massive. And so when you do try to say, hey man, well, this didn't work for me, right? It didn't work for us. And you and your partner can try it, see if it works. It may not work. You've got to be flexible in that regard. And I just feel like a lot of us guys, you know, we haven't always been. Now, I know that if you're a guy and you're listening to this, you'll have a tendency, trust me, because it's the ego mind, you'll have a tendency to want to make comparisons to what women do. And I'm going to caution you not to do that. I'll caution you not to do that anytime you're listening to the Mind Barber, anytime you're listening to me speak, because I'm not talking about women as the primary focus. I may talk about the women as a secondary focus. And so that's one of those things that's coming out of my Buddhist training, coming out of my Sufi training, coming out of this reading, you know, spiritual ascetic lives of people, right? The lives of spiritually ascetic people, they don't focus on what somebody else is doing. They focus on what they're doing. So if you have that tendency to want to deflect and make a comparison in what women are doing, kind of push pause, come back to yourself, go get yourself a little mirror so you can remind yourself that this is about what you can do. It's not about what somebody else can do, okay? So relationships, man, seems like a lot of people are not happy in their relationships. Now, I have to say, one of the reasons, one of the things that I've been able to identify just in coming across so many people is that what two people say they want is not really always true. It's like a bait and switch game, And that's what people tend to do. So we're going to move past all the bait and switch stuff. Maybe some other time I'll talk about that. But if you're in a relationship, man, and you want things to work out, guys, one of the first things I have to tell you is remember your commitment. You know, this is called, what's the rule for a happy relationship? Well, guess what? There are no rules. You know, there really aren't. Life throws all types of crap at us all the time. And if you adhere to a set of rules, or if you try to adhere to a set of rules, when that new thing comes to you, when that new curveball is thrown at you, because you are trying to adhere to a certain set of rules, you may not have any tools in your toolbox to be able to address the new circumstances that you and your partner have encountered. Okay. So, you know, if you focus on like caring and loving foundations, then you'll be better able to trust that no matter what you're going through, you'll be able to face those things together. We're talking about the collaboration instead of the cooperation, right? Because if something comes at you guys and it's difficult for you to handle, and one of you is trying to cooperate but the other wants to collaborate, see, the one who's trying to cooperate won't really be down to make the shift like that. Okay, they're still pulling, they're still standing where they are, they're still holding on to something that they feel like they need to hold on to, and the relationship suffers. So that goes back to that collaboration piece, you see. You know, I think that it's difficult for a lot of people to do, especially if your news is coming from the TV, if your news is coming from social media, if your relationship news is coming from a square or a rectangle, so either a TV or a phone, right? You may not always be getting the best depiction of relationships, or the truest depiction of relationships. And I think that a lot of times what that causes us to do is it causes us to assume the worst of somebody else. You know, we're getting to a point where a lot of men assume the worst of women. And there are movements and things out there that are assuming the worst of women. You know, whatever happens, it's important to understand that your partner probably means the best, okay? And I say probably, and again, if your partner didn't mean the best, then I'm going to ask you who you chose. So I'm not going to focus on your partner. I'm going to focus on you, right? Even if somebody pisses you off, you know, their intentions may not have been to do that. I mean, you have to trust yourself that you chose to be with somebody who wouldn't intentionally cause you that type of emotional harm, okay? And so we have to think of them as being good people. That's who we want to be with, right? And so we assume the best of the other person. If you assume that your partner is doing their best, it's likely that, you know, there won't be this kind of like blaming. Okay, yeah, there'll be disappointment to a degree, but you won't sit there and blame, going back and forth for days and weeks at a time over this type of thing. So it doesn't mean that you can't address something that somebody did that hurts you, right? Assuming the best of somebody doesn't mean I'm going to completely ignore my feelings and what I'm experiencing. You actually talk about that, but you don't accuse the person of trying to demoralize you, right? Don't ever stop trying in your relationships. And I think that, you know, in this microwave relationship world, in places today where it's easy to throw in the towel, right? You know, I think happiness can be a kind of a trap for us. If you are, whether you're in a relationship, getting into a relationship, dating, whatever you want to call it, and you look out there, man, everybody today has a setup for happiness with relationships. And you can see it over and over again. It's travel, it's money, it's expectations about travel, expectations about money, expectations about about religion and spirituality, expectations about the kids and making moves and building and everything else under the sun. And all of that is a trap. All of that is a trap because you're going to be met with obstacles that impact those desires that you have out there. Like when two people come together, when two chemicals come together, there's always a reaction. And then when you add other chemical elements to that, there's going to be even more of a reaction. And so that changes the dynamics of things, you see. But what we tend to focus on is our just happiness, right? You know, happiness only comes in sharp bursts. It's like watching a football game with nonstop scoring. It's great for a quarter, but then it kind of gets boring. I mean, some of you guys have seen that before. I'm a New England Patriots fan, and I know some of you guys hate the New England Patriots because they demolish everybody year after year, right? I have to throw that out there. But nobody wants to see the type of game where it's great scoring, but it's really not. It's not competitive, right? So you have to strive for contentedness, right? For contentment, which is a continuous state of mind, okay? And that is probably more actionable, more doable than being happy all the time. Because being happy comes with a whole lot of pressure, right? And being happy also kind of makes it feel like it's somebody else's job, right? It's our partner's job to make us happy. And guess what? It's not our partner's job to make us happy. It's really not. They don't have anything to do with our happiness like that, honestly. Well, what I mean by that is, yeah, they're going to do some things that disappoint us, but guess who has to respond to it? Guess who has to make the choice about how to react to it? We do, right? We do. And I'll never forget, you know, Dr. Dyer always talking about this orange and anger. And he would say, you know, no, somebody else didn't make you angry. The anger is like orange juice inside of you. You're the orange. And if you squeeze the orange, what's going to come out, right? Orange juice is going to come out. So it's in there. You've got to decide how you're going to deal with it. So that's really important. You know, if you guys follow the Gottman Institute, and for you therapists out there, some of you all are certified in this, so you know, but for laymen out there, they have no idea what the Gottman Institute is about. There are a whole lot of things that they talk about, but one of the things they talk about is four horsemen. These are things that just, man, create doom in a relationship. And one of those things is stonewalling, right? It's extremely, extremely corrosive to stonewall in relationships. Now, a person who stonewalls will stop responding, right? They'll maintain a calm exterior while you know that something is bothering them. And that could be your partner, or that could be you. Maybe you're that guy out there who, you know, you're hiding the way you feel because you're afraid that if you express the way you feel, right, your partner's going to blow up. But the crazy part about that is if you try to disguise how you feel, if you try to limit the expression of your malcontent, you're really just creating this war within yourself. And there's some type of quote out there about that. And I don't know what, I can't remember it, but it's true. You know, you'll do much more damage trying to stonewall in your relationship. You'll hurt the relationship and you hurt yourself, you know, than you would if you just said how you feel. Obviously, some of us have to work on how we communicate our feelings, right? But if you say nothing, that's just as bad. You have to communicate your feelings respectfully. And I think that when you come from, you may come from an environment where people didn't do that. You know, people didn't talk to each other in a respectful manner. And so that's something that you have to practice. you know, when it comes to arguing, you need to argue and attack the issue, right? Not get offensive. Don't attack the person. And I think it's so easy to do is to attack the person, right? Don't dig up the past. Stop throwing stuff in each other's faces. Don't throw anything in your partner's face. Don't dismiss their experience. And I think that's something that we guys are actually really good at doing because we're uncomfortable addressing negative emotions. Because we're uncomfortable addressing the negative emotions, sometimes what we do is we just try to move past the actual experience that our partner had with us, or something that they had out, they went through outside of us. We'll just kind of go, okay, zoom, jump, let's leapfrog over that and get to the next thing. And I got to tell you, that doesn't make them feel good at all. Okay, doesn't make them feel good. Does it take work to do that? Yeah, absolutely. But it's really worth it. And that's one of the things that I've learned watching other people, is that those people who learn to communicate respectfully, you know what? They get the job done in their relationship. The people who don't, well, they're still out there kind of just trying to figure it out, following rectangles and squares, again, TV and social media, looking for somebody else to give them what they need from the relationship. And well, they'll be unsuccessful again. You know, one of the things that always comes up, whether I talk to a guy, whether I talk to a woman about the issue, it's just, man, be flexible, right? I can tell you, in one of the previous podcasts, I talked a little bit about adhering to a religion that was very strict. And so you had all these roles that you had to fit in, and then everything you encountered had to fit into the role that you tried to fit in. So external experience has to go in this box because that's the role that I'm supposed to play. External experience has to go in that box because that's the role she has to play. External experience has to go in this box over here because that's the role that somebody has to play, right? It doesn't allow for a lot of flexibility, okay? Really doesn't. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not trashing anybody's religion or religious perspective. Maybe a religious perspective a little bit, especially if you hold one perspective and your partner holds another and y'all not making things work, that's a problem. But at any rate, man, life throws you a lot of haymakers. I mentioned this before. You're going to get all kinds of stuff thrown at you that you didn't anticipate. And I think one of the issues is that, you know, everybody wants these grand relationships. You know, you got people out there who are meeting, they met 6 months ago and or 5 months ago, and they're engaged to be married, or they're married already and stuff. And people see these things, again, on rectangles and boxes on social media and TV, and they go, hey, I want that. That worked out well. That's the way it's supposed to be. There's no supposed to when it comes to relationships, guys. It's not. And I know a lot of us would like to think that, but once you start talking to these couples who've been together for a long period of time and they are successful, they're continuously loving on each other, you know, raising children if they've got children, just content, they'll tell you, man, you know what? We had to put that stuff aside. Okay. You got to be flexible. Unexpected events, unexpected expenses, life changes, health, death, all types of things come up. And if you're too rigid, right, we resist facing those unexpected things. You know, your ability to go with the flow, especially when it's dramatically different from what you expected, that's what gives you guys the opportunity to learn new skills. Right, to learn new skills and get to know each other in ways that, you know what, if you all hadn't had that experience, if you wouldn't had gone through that situation, you wouldn't have learned something new about each other. Okay, so you've got to be flexible. All right, be curious, man. And I especially mention that for the old farts out there. You guys got to be curious. Okay, when we get older, man, we can tend to not be so curious anymore. We can tend to not be curious if we've got kids in a relationship, not be curious about and with our kids. We can avoid curiosity with our spouse or partner. We can avoid curiosity about life. A lot of us get stuck, and I'm just be frank with you. If you're older, you know, you can probably point out some times in your life when you were a really big dick to somebody. Okay, and I don't mean that like a sexual compliment, like you were an asshole to somebody. Okay, Your curiosity wasn't there. You were lame. A lot of younger people today use the word basic, and I don't like to use words to describe people that way, man. But I mean, think about your experiences, right? In difficult or challenging situations, you can both learn from makes those you can learn about what makes that hard for you. You see, instead of shutting down the curiosity when you're faced with something, dig into it, right? And figure out why I don't like to be the one to handle the expenses, or figure out why I'm not the one that likes to make the doctor's appointments for the children, or figure out why, you know, I just stand back and let somebody else make the decision about something, or figure out why I'm the person that feels like they always have to have control, right? Or so you could be thinking that you're better at something. And if you're better at something, then ask yourself a curious question. If I think I'm better at something, have I ever tried to show that person how to do it in a way that's good for them? I don't know. We can do things like that. It's all about our willingness or unwillingness, really. You have to be willing to grow and learn, you know? And here's a spoiler alert, right? Because you just heard me say, maybe you were absolutely awesome at doing something, or maybe you think that way, you feel that way. But dude, every last one of us has fucked up tremendously in our relationships, right? Current, past, whatever. You've had that happen to you. We've all had it happen. We've screwed up. Everybody does it. Everybody says dumb things. We forget stuff. We get things wrong. It's all about how we react that defines our relationships, right? If we're willing to learn from our mistakes as they relate to our partner's needs or their desires, yeah, then you know what? We're going to thrive, right? Things are going to happen. And personally, we'll thrive, and the relationship, right, will thrive too. You know, the willingness to admit mistakes, that's a huge deal. To apologize sincerely, bigger deal. To change the behavior, recognize how these things happen, right? That's what creates a deeper bond with somebody else. So we have to swallow our pride. We got to get rid of the ego stuff, right? And I know, men, talking to you guys, it's difficult today, man, because if you got toxic masculinity being thrown out there, it feels like they're attacking men everywhere when they're really not. I'm going to just get you straight. They're really not. At the Me Too movement, which a lot of you guys have assumed was for women, and it's really not. You can go find Tarana Burke's statement where she says it's not just about women. So that's the ego stuff rising up, right? But look, swallow the pride, okay? Be willing to grow and learn with the person that you say you love, okay? You heard me talk a little bit about frog leaping past somebody's experiences, frog leaping past somebody's emotions, right? When you frog leap past the way somebody's feeling, if they're expressing to you that something you did hurt their feelings, or something you said hurt their feelings or made them feel a certain way, whatever the case may be, don't invalidate their emotions. And that's a comfortable thing for a lot of us guys to do, simply because, man, a lot of us didn't grow up with the emotional vocabulary to be able to sit there in that moment and deal with stuff like that, right? But emotional invalidation, dude, it can get really close to becoming emotional abuse, right? It really can. And so we have to be careful, because once you start emotionally abusing somebody, it's hard to come back from something like that. Then you heard me talk about somebody not bringing up the past. Well, when you start hurting somebody like that over and over, right, or you get them, it's just something that was really important to them and you bypass it, man, you better believe that's going to come back. It's going to come back because you stuck a knife in them and you're not doing anything to help retrieve that. Just being for real, okay? If you typify or classify a person's emotions by saying stuff like, you know, oh, that's ridiculous, or, you know, don't freak out, but I have to tell you something. Wait a minute. How can you control somebody's emotions like that, right? Or if you even say to somebody, and we're good for it, man, oh, you're overreacting. Well, overreacting to who? You see, we grow up saying stuff like that, not realizing that it's emotional invalidation and it hurts our relationships. It doesn't include respect at all. Okay, it really doesn't. But yeah, man, and you know, I heard somebody say guys always speak about relationships in terms of sports. Well, unfortunately, sometimes that can be true. I hope that as you all listen to the podcast, you'll learn that we go beyond sports analogies to talk about emotions and relationships. But guys, look, you got to play tennis and not catch, okay? Many of us get defensive when we are in relationships. It's learned behavior, right? And one that can be very, very difficult to fight. But it's incredibly toxic. We know it's incredibly toxic. It leads to a lot of resentment and communication issues in the relationships, right? So, you know, it's about like being able to defend yourself, right? This thing, well, let me put it to you this way. You know, when I say you play tennis and not catch, okay, the way to think about defensiveness is that you're not being receptive to your partner's feedback. Okay, it's a combination of defending yourself. You know, you're poking holes in another person's perspective. You're trying to communicate, right? But when you're trying to communicate, you're constantly in this defensive pattern. Okay, so how can you get out of that? How can you reshape your thinking? Well, if you find yourself playing tennis, you know, that's the wrong game, right? You really want to be playing catch because it's a much slower game, right? You can develop communication during that slower game. You're taking that ball and you're trying to toss it so that your partner can easily receive it. I mean, let's face it. When you're looking at a tennis match, the whole idea is not to have them hit that ball back over the net, right? It's to have them swing and a miss, and you're the victor. Well, when you're playing catch like that, there is no one victor, right? There's no one winner. You actually want to give them a chance to catch the ball. You want to give them the opportunity to throw the ball back to you, and you're hoping that they throw the ball back to you in a way that you can catch it, right? And that's really one of the things to focus on. So it's not, I said play tennis, not catch, but you really want to play catch and not tennis, okay? In today's time, man, I think that it's extremely important that people are open about finances. And I know that that's something, guys, that, man, depending on your financial situation, it could just, again, it could scratch your ego. And I get it, because a lot of us, understand at least part of our manliness and our manhood through our finances, just because that's what we've been taught. But we haven't just been taught that by other men. We've also been taught that by women who've been taught that, right? So even today, you know, women are like, what do you bring to the table? And if you feel like you don't bring enough to the table, doesn't that make you feel kind of small? And when you feel kind of small, then are you going to be as open about your finances and what you bring to the table and what you don't, when, you know what, it just feels like it's beating down on my ego. You see what I'm saying? Trust me, I've been there. But still, it's something that we have to start to practice, right? Talking about money is one of the most intimate conversations that we can have with somebody. Whether you keep a separate bank account or you share everything type of couple, we're talking about finances, man, you need to, these things need to happen often and they need to happen early. And again, this isn't a debate about finances, right? So if you're talking to somebody who you're trying to get with and it's a debate, then that's not it, right? If you're talking to somebody about your finances and they're open to you, they are asking you questions, not because they're trying to beat you down, but because they're trying to see, what could you do differently? Do I have the capacity to help? Do you have the capacity to get help? What are some of your ideas about what you're doing, what you've been doing so far? These types of, see, those questions are different than somebody who's just like, you know what? You don't bring enough to the table. I'm the whole table, because I know that there are women out there who is putting these memes on social media, right? Everybody's got these memes that try to validate the stuff they want and how they are and blah, blah, blah. A meme is just a fucking meme, okay? But you got to talk about, you got to talk about your finances like that, man, because it's about generational wealth. And to be financially healthy, to be financially healthy is going to include being healthy physically, spiritually, mentally. So you want to get into those types of things. If you're not talking openly about money, you're not really building a shared future. Okay. And that's really, really important. That you think about it this way. You're a guy, you get with somebody, and you're not open about your finances, or maybe you're not open about some financial decisions that you made that didn't turn out so well, and you're married, maybe you got kids, I don't know, but somehow now you're tied to this person and you die, right? And her name is on some stuff, or his name, if you're gay, their name is on some stuff of yours, and vice versa. But now you left this person with this debt they didn't know anything about. Imagine how it would feel if that happened to you on the flip side. You see, or imagine how it would feel if you were always having to be the person to pick up where somebody else messed up. And when they messed up, they didn't tell you that they messed up. They didn't tell you they made a bad decision. They didn't say. So I know for a fact, and this is a crazy thing, guys. I want to, and this is especially for you to just to hear this, right? There are a whole lot of women out there who are like, oh, I'm trying to catch flights. Right. But if your finances are not set up for you to catch flight, guys, and that's what she wants to do, tell her, hey, man, I'm not set up that way. OK, because eventually I'm going to tell you something straight up. It's nice to travel somewhere. That's really cool. All right. But that doesn't make a relationship, and that shouldn't be what breaks a relationship either. And if you are looking at somebody who thinks that way, you're looking at the wrong person. OK. And that leads me to this, because that's actually a part of boundaries, okay? Somebody trying to convince you to do something that you're not ready for or incapable of, and you don't say anything about it, you're letting your boundaries be trampled. And so I want to talk to you guys about creating boundaries really quick. You know, how do parents keep their marriage together when kids are in the picture? They got to set boundaries. And these mean keeping kids out of the bedroom most of the time or having regular dates. Even if you don't leave the house, just Netflix and chill away from the kids, right? Going on adult-only vacations. And that could be a little harder to do, obviously, especially if you don't have a lot of babysitters around, family members you trust, and stuff like that. Yeah, I get it. That's not an easy thing to do. But, you know, when it comes to guys who have children with folks, right, there are a whole lot of us who buy into this idea that we can never, ever, ever have alone time and things like that in order to just spend time with each other. And that's a way we create boundaries with another person, right? But I also mentioned to you that in order for relationships to thrive, we have to be comfortable setting our own boundaries, individual boundaries and collective boundaries. You got to have both. Okay, you can't just have the collective boundaries, you got to have them both. And the reason why you have to have them both is without individual boundaries, you start doing things in a relationship that make you feel lost. You don't remember where you're going. You're a co-captain out there and you don't know what the captain is doing. Okay, and so those individual boundaries and collective boundaries are extremely, extremely important. You know, when it comes to collective boundaries in a relationship, your kids could actually become the captain in your relationship, and you as parents could be the co-captains, and your kids could be driving y'all nuts. And you look up, mom and dad is ready to divorce, not because they really don't love each other, but because over time, man, everything else has gotten in the way, you see. So it's extremely important to do that. Now, One of the things that I talked about in a recent podcast also was how to have a better sex life. Okay, I won't spend a whole lot of time on it, but look, guys, prioritize your sex. Learn how to prioritize sex, okay? But you got to do some things, especially if you're with a woman, right? You've got to do some things differently than what you used to do when you were younger, when the relationship was new, when it was that new perfume, those new hips, that new ass, the new thighs. It's easy to prioritize sex when all of that is new. It's hard to prioritize sex when you've been working 10 and 12 hours a day. Bills are stacked. Kids are yelling. Mom is calling. Dad is this. Neighbors are blah. Running people back and forth to events and what have you. See, now it changes. Oh, let me add, maybe you got an infant and somebody's nursing. Well, how do you do that, right? And one of the things that I suggested was put it on the calendar. Sounds lame as crap, but just like you put important meetings on your calendar at your job, this may be something you have to do for your relationship as well. Date nights. I think everybody is aware that date nights are important. But here's something else that's also important about those date nights. Do them, do them, do them. But guess what? Pay attention to how you do them. Because I think that when we are looking at social media and stuff like that, we can kind of fall into this rut of, well, that's how somebody had date night, so I'm going to have date night. The next thing you know, you're hashtag relationship goals and hashtag about last night and hashtag. Your relationship is not a fucking hashtag. Your date night is not about hashtags. Okay, so sit down, have that conversation with your spouse, with your mate, so that they understand that these pictures and whatever else, these don't have to be shared with everybody out there. This doesn't have to go up on Instagram like this. This doesn't have to be on Facebook and Snapchat and all these other places like that. We don't have to do those things anymore. Okay. So again, your date nights don't have to include social media at all. You'd be like, hey, honey, we're going to go to dinner and we're not taking phones. We take pictures. Those pictures for us, our family, maybe our kids. We're not going to put that online. You've got to be okay with that. Okay. I mean, but if you want to live your life on social media like that, that's fine. But if you ask people, truly ask people, hey, is this something we really, really want to do or have to do? A lot of people are going to say, no, you know what? We're past that now. That's not the point of it. The point is to connect to each other and not to connect to the World Wide Web. Okay. And there are some really interesting things that you can do. Let's say you got kids and you're trying to get date night in. You know what? If your kids are of a certain age, old enough to sit in a movie theater, one theater by themselves, you guys can go to another screen and watch a show that you all want to see. You know, I'm old school that I call a movie a show, right? But you can watch a movie that you all want to see. It works out. There are some really cool babysitting services that exist out there for you all now, where they can do the background checks for you. They can vet people. You can vet people, right? And you can still do background checks on the people who you vet. You know, like if you met somebody through work or what have you, but you want to try to create a way for your relationship to stay, you know, in motion. Okay. And the kids in today's time, man, when everybody is about me, let me tell you, kids can really damage your relationship. That's why a lot of people are like, I'm not having kids or I'm having kids late. It's the reality, especially for a lot of millennial and Generation Z people who don't have children yet or who have like one. They're like, whoa, Jack, I'm done. Why? Because I'm trying to catch flights. I'm trying to go hang out at night or something like that. But yeah, just be creative with those things. There will be more that I will put out for you guys regarding relationship stuff, man. But I think that this is enough for now. You know, next time I'll come in and I'll talk a little bit about like getting on the same page or moving on from arguments, how to always be validating. And one of my personal favorites, right, is laughing, to be laughing at yourself, your partner, having a sense of humor, because that stuff goes a long way when you're trying to last for years and years and years. So thank you guys for listening. Thank you all for watching. You know, again, you can sign up for our alerts on our website. If you go to www.thebarbershopgroup.org, you can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Especially, I encourage you to follow us on Facebook and on Twitter because we have articles coming out every day, all day long, articles about manhood, masculinity, mental health, physical health, financial wellness for guys, all types of things like that. And if you only follow us on Instagram, you won't see all of those articles, right? Myself and the team, we go through maybe 300 or 400 articles every single day that we think are important for you guys. And so sign up for those. Facebook, Twitter, that's where you're going to get a lot of that stuff. If you sign up on the website, obviously you'll get access to the video podcast. You know, again, there, when we have our events and things like that, you'll get those alerts. So check that out. Again, I want to mention to you all that you can financially support the podcast by clicking the support the podcast button on our website or right in your app. And you can, again, for the price of a Starbucks coffee or whatever it is that you kind of habitually drink or eat, supporting the podcast is probably a lot less than the money that you spend on those things. So guys, I hope that you all have a great weekend. Be well, take care of yourselves and your family, and we'll talk to you soon.